ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from 10th canto, chapter 2, text 3 to 5, titled Prayers by the Demigods. Text 3. Te pīḍitā bibhishu kuru pañcāl kekayān śālvān vidarbhān niṣdhān videhān kaushalnapi. By His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Persecuted by demonic kings, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others like those of Kurus, Panchalas, Kekyas, Salvas, Vidarbhas, Nishdhas, Videhas, and Kaushalas. There is no commentary, therefore we are going to text number 4 and 5. एके तमृंधाना ज्ञात्या पर्युपासते हतेषु पटसु बालेषु देवक्या अग्रे सेनिना सप्तमो वैष्णवम धाम यम अनंततम प्रच्छते गर्भो विभुव देवक्या हर्क शोक विवर्धना. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kansa's principles and act in his service. After Kansa, the son of Ugrasen killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion, Chaturvyuh expansion. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akrur, stayed with Kansa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kansa. And they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kansa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and display his childhood pastimes. And Akrura would later go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balram to Mathura. The word Paryupasate is significant because that indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kansa in order to see all those these pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kansa had formerly been sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by Brahman, they were obliged to take birth as grandsons for Hiranyakashipu. Kansa had taken birth as Kalnemi, and now he was obliged to kill his own sons. This was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they would return to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews, but Kansa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. Ananta Sankarshan belongs to the second Chaturvyuh or quadruple expansion. This is the opinion of experienced commentators. Krishna. So, in the beginning, I would like to seek the blessings of Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, along the assembled Vaishnavas, to empower me to speak. Actually, I am not qualified to speak on such important subjects, but I will try my best. I will give a brief history before which led to all these situations. Being very affectionate to his younger sister, Devaki, after her marriage to Vasudev, Kansa, He just rode the chariot and started driving them back to their kingdom. And at that time, there was Akashvani. And it said that, "O foolish rascal, the eighth child of the woman you are driving will be the cause of your death." So, demonic tendencies or attitudes are that whenever their sense gratification is disturbed or likely to be curtailed, they are very fearful. So immediately, he caught hold of the hairs of Devaki and took out the sword to kill her. At that time, Vasudev wanted to pacify him. Actually, he was so cruel that Vasudev tried all the arguments on the basis of Shastra to pacify him and to terrify him also. But he was such a demon, he did not move from his decision. And he was not even concerned about his karmic reactions either in this life or in the next life. So in this crisis moment, Vasudev thought the main purpose is first to save Devaki from the clutches of Kansa, from imminent death. So since he was a king, he was very diplomatic. So he told that, "Actually, you have no fear from Devaki. You have fear only from his eighth son. But I promise you that whenever a child is born, I will hand it over to you. And whatever you like, whatever you want to do with it." But we see that Vasudev's reputation, he was so true to his words that even Kansa, who was such cruel demonic demon, he believed him, that whatever Vasudev will say, he will fulfill. And therefore, he freed them and they went to their kingdom. So when the first child was born, who was named Kirtiman, Vasudev, according to his promise, brought the child and handed over to Kansa. Seeing that a small, beautiful child, Kansa actually developed some affection and said that, no, I have no fear from the first child, you can take it back." Here we find that Narad Muni steps in at this stage because he wanted Krishna to appear as early as possible. "Jab tak Kans ka paap ka ghada nahi bharega, Bhagwan kaise aayenge?" So he wanted Krishna to appear as early as possible, and therefore he came to Kansa and told him that, "Don't you know that all the demigods are taking birth in Vishnu and Yadu families in Vrindavan and elsewhere, and they are just awaiting the arrival of the Supreme Lord Krishna?" And then he also made him aware of his previous birth, that he was a demon named Kalnemi and he was killed by Vishnu. In Hari Vansh explains, the Shastra explains that formerly Asura Kalnemi had six sons. The names were Hansa, Subhikarna, Kratha, Damana, Rupumardhan, Ripumardhan, and Trodhanta. And according to Vaishnav Toshani of Sanatana Goswami, as Prabhupada also mentioned here, that six sons were actually the sons of Marichi, who were cursed by a Brahman to take birth as the sons, grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. So these six sons, who are also known as Shatgarbhas, they were grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. And you know that how Hiranyakashipu was. He has conquered the three worlds, and even with a slight movement of his eyebrows, 33 crores demigods would come before us with folded hands and do whatever he likes to do. But the six sons Actually, without his permission, they deserted him. They went for great penance for Brahma, and they also got benediction from him. Actually, they were great warriors and had expert in military affairs. So what the benediction they got? That they will not be killed by demigods, Maharog, Yakshas, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Chandras, human beings, or even great sages. So when Hiranyakashipu came to know about this, because his authority was violated, they acted independently without his permission, so he was very furious and cursed them that they will be killed in the next life by their own father. Kalnemi will take birth as Kansa, and these 6 sons of his will take birth in the womb of Devaki, and they will be killed by Kansa. So this is so generally we know about Narad Muni that in our childhood we used to hear stories of Narad Muni, and people used to say Narad Muni ko to kuch kaam nahi hai, idhar ki udhar lagate hain, udhar ki udhar lagate hain, aag lagate firte hain logon mein. But it is not true. Definitely outwardly he is doing the same thing, but he is simply fulfilling the plan of the Lord. He is a pure devotee, and his only purpose is to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality Godhead, to glorify him and to be part of the Krishna's plan. Whatever he does actually is meant for some purpose, to achieve some objective, whether to glorify some devotee, whether to establish some principles, whether to be part of the Krishna's plan. So this is the position. Whatever he does actually is for according to Krishna's will and plan, and it is for the benefit of everybody. It is not that it hurts anybody. So Narad Muni's position is like that. So hearing of this, he immediately imprisoned Devaki. Kansa imprisoned Devaki and Vasudev, put them in jail, and the first child, Kirtiman, was brutally killed by him by smashing his head on the stone. So this is how we reached. So year after year, as the time passed, 5 more sons were born to Devaki, and Kansa immediately killed those 6 sons, all the 5 other sons. So all the 6 sons were killed by Kansa very brutally. So from this story or episode or incident, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was once describing it, that we can understand actually many lessons from this story. Firstly, that how the devotee's business is simply to execute the plan of Krishna. Even if in that process of execution they have to suffer unbearable, intolerable distress and sufferings. In fact, everything is predestined by Krishna. But the devotee must try his best to serve the interest of Krishna, to serve his plan, to serve his will. And in that process, he is ready to become an insignificant, humble instrument in the hands of Krishna for his pleasure. This is the position of a devotee. So Krishna has given one thing to every human being: his choice, his independence, to choose what he wants to do. But when a devotee, by his independent choice, surrenders to Krishna, that is the manifestation of devotee's unmotivated, unalloyed, and unadulterated love for Krishna. That is devotee's position. He is not concerned how much suffering he is going to do. By his independent choice, he just surrendered to the will of Krishna. This is the greatness of a devotee. So we know, many mothers are here, that how much inconvenience, pain, suffering a mother has to undergo for 9 months keeping a child in her womb. And once that child, that joyous moment comes, child's birth, everybody is so joyous. But if the child is taken away, is killed, kidnapped, murdered, then what will be the position of their parents, mother and father both? We see from the incident of Chitraketu, he had a son named Harshok. But that son was poisoned and killed by envious queens. What the Srimad Bhagavat describes, what was their position of the parents of Harshok? The mother, the queen, was fainting again and again. She was completely bewildered. And the king Chitraketu, who heard it, he ran from his throne. He was falling, getting up, falling, getting up. His crown is falling. His clothes became loose and going haywire. And how much lamentation he was going through. So when a child who is so dear to the parents, and particularly the mother who has suffered for 9 months, keeping the child in her womb, how much suffering they are going to have. So before their own eyes, their son was killed. So many may think, or many may decide, that why we should have we go through such process again and again, when they know that their child will be killed by Kansa. They did, but Devaki and Vasudev did not think like that, that we should not have more children, why we should go through this process and suffer the death of his child. They decided to go through all this suffering because they knew that Krishna will come as the eighth child. They were making way for Krishna to come, to appear and do his purpose, to kill Kansa. So they went through all this suffering only for the pleasure of Krishna, only for Krishna to appear, only for making a way for Krishna to appear. So this is extreme sacrifice devotees undergo for the pleasure of Krishna, to fulfill the plan of Krishna and to fulfill his will for his pleasure. And this is how Krishna glorifies his devotees. The highest stage of devotees is, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described, Asritsya vipadratam pinashtumam adrashnam marmam hatum karutuve yatha tatha vabidha datu lampato mat pranatu ev samnarpara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that whether you trample on me, whether you disappear from my eyes, whether you embrace me or you kick me, you are my Lord unconditionally. So in whatever situation the devotees is put in, the only purpose is some siddhi haritoshnam. I have to please the Lord. I have to satisfy the Lord. So this is the greatness of a devotee, and how Devaki and Vasudev went through all this suffering for getting sons and killed before their eyes, only for the purpose that Krishna would appear as the eighth child. So although Krishna is all-powerful, Prabhupada describes, and he will in anyhow complete his plan, whatever plan he has got, but it is not that a devotee simply sits ideally and leave everything to Krishna, that ultimately Krishna will kill Kansa, whether he appear from her womb or not, because Krishna's purpose to appear is only paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya doshkritam. He wants to come and alienate the miscreants. So, but the devotee will not sit idly. He will try his best to fulfill the plan of Krishna. Another aspect of the killing of six sons has been explained, that their six sons of Devaki represents six anarthas, as we know, kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsar. And we see that Krishna appeared only after these six sons were killed. Similarly, if we want Krishna to appear in our heart, because our heart at present is full of these six anarthas, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. So unless we clear these six anarthas, which are actually covering our real identity, the real nature of the soul, which is to love Krishna, which is to serve Krishna, which is to be attached to Krishna, unless that covering goes, how we can be in contact with Krishna? We cannot be. Actually, these anarthas are taking away from Krishna. So these anarthas has to be vanquished before our original position comes, or the original qualities of the soul reflects, which is Satchidanand, to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, to be attached to Krishna, to be attached to his devotees. So when these six anarthas are overcome by the devotees, actually, then his contact with Krishna comes into play. And only then Krishna appears in the hearts of the devotee. So here also it is mentioned that when the six sons of Devaki were killed, a plenary portion of Krishna entered Devaki's womb as seventh child. Actually, Balaram Jayanti has been a few days back, we have celebrated Balaram Jayanti, and the seventh child was Balaramji. And Gaur Gopal Prabhu very elaborately described about Sankarshan or Balaramji. And he said that, I will just in a brief what he said, because just to repeat the words of great devotees is whatever we have learnt in the parampara. So he said that although Krishna is Bhagavan Swam, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swam, but Balaramji is Tahar Dvitya Dehe Shri Balaram. He is the first expansion of Krishna. He is the first candle to be lit by the original candle. And he comes as the elder brother in this particular incarnation. Before this incarnation, in the Ram incarnation, he came as the younger brother, and he had to perform many unpleasant duties which he did not want to perform because he was just serving Ram. But in this particular incarnation, he comes as the elder brother. Although the purpose is the same, to serve Krishna, but here he was not obliged to perform unpleasant things for Krishna. Therefore, he came as elder brother in this particular incarnation. And the purpose of his appearance is, he has described as two purposes. Sevya Karan, to serve Krishna. His purpose is to serve Krishna. In the previous incarnation, he served Ram. In this also, although he is an elder brother, the purpose is only to serve Krishna. And Nana Sukha Aswadan, and to give him pleasure in so many ways, by arranging for his transcendental pastimes, by making arrangement for his transcendental pastimes, or so many things. So it is one sense, a Seva Tattva. Balaramji, the seventh child who has come, is a Seva Tattva. And the other part is that he is also a Guru Tattva. He appears, he is the first Guru, original Guru, and Guru Tattva. And it has been described that Bal, what Bal means, it is the spiritual strength which gives a living entity strength to avoid anarthas, to overcome anarthas. And the purpose is anarth nivritti, because that is spiritual strength gives a living entity power to overcome the anarthas as well as to avoid the temptations of the anarthas, and also to give understanding to the living entity how to use and apply spiritual knowledge in his life. So these two purposes are Guru Tattva, that he gives strength to the living entity, to his disciple, how to overcome these anarthas and to avoid temptation of the anarthas, and also how he can apply the spiritual knowledge properly, use that in his life, in practical way. Therefore, and also the Ram means Raman, he gives earth pravritti, he gives pleasure to everyone, to the devotees, to Krishna. So this is also very symbolic. Just as the killing of the six sons were symbolic, that we have to overcome anarthas, they were representing anarthas, this is also very symbolic, the position of Guru, which Balramji enjoys. So a spiritual master is actually the representative of Guru, Balramji. Just like Balramji entered as the seventh child to prepare for the appearance of Krishna, similarly, or to give connection to Krishna, similarly, the spiritual masters gives us connection to Krishna. This is the importance of the Guru. So one man actually accepts his bona fide spiritual master and according to his instructions tries to perform the sadhana bhakti or the process of bhajan kriya. Adho sadhu, adho shraddha, tatha sadhu sang, tatha bhajan kriya, tatha anarth nivritti, tatha nishtha. So when according to a process given by the spiritual master, he performs the process of bhajan kriya or the sadhana bhakti, then what happens? He advances in spiritual practices. And then with spiritual practices, he becomes free from the anarthas and goes to the stage of nishtha. Nishtha means is a faith which has started very initial faith, has now become a firm faith in Krishna, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am his servant, because he realizes his own actual natural position as a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore he is completely infringing faith in Krishna. So he reaches the stage of Krishna. So when he reaches that stage and his heart is free from all this contamination, then the hard-hearted person becomes a soft-hearted person. His heart becomes like a fresh butter, Navneet. And as we know, that Krishna is very attracted to Navneet. In Vrindavan Leela, what we see, that Krishna is always very fond of Navneet, fresh butter. Yashoda Mata is daily feeding him with fresh butter. Even other elder gopiyas were eager to feed him with fresh butter, and he is known as Makhan Chor because he is so attracted to fresh butter. So when the devotee's heart becomes like fresh butter, very soft-hearted, because there is no anarthas there, then Krishna is attracted to that heart, and actually he takes birth in the heart of a devotee. This is the process how Krishna takes birth in the womb of Devaki. After all the contamination is gone, and by Balramji clearing the way for Krishna, actually prepare the womb for Krishna's appearance. This is how a spiritual master, who is a representative of Balramji, prepares the heart of a devotee so that Krishna can take birth in his heart. So this is also very symbolic. We have to understand that we have to overcome anarthas by the process of sadhana bhakti under the guidance of a spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, and that is the only process to attract Krishna. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says in a prayer, glorifying such devotees, Tumara hirdaya sada Govind Vishram. Govind kahe Vaishnav mera pran. He says that such a devotee heart is the resting place of Krishna. And Krishna says that my devotee is my life and soul. So this is the reciprocation between the devotee and his and Krishna. He takes birth, he resides in the heart of Krishna, and Krishna resides in the heart of a devotee, and therefore it is said, wherever the foot of a devotee goes, that is Vrindavan. Because Krishna never takes any step outside Vrindavan. So when Krishna is the heart of a pure devotee, and wherever he goes, he carries Krishna with him. And wherever devotees go and Krishna goes, that place is Vrindavan. So we have to understand that this is the highest position of a devotee, where Krishna is always in the heart of a devotee. Krishna knows nobody than his devotees, and devotee knows nobody than Krishna. This is the reciprocation with the devotees. And little about Anant, because it has been mentioned in the Prabhupada commentary. So the foremost incarnation of Krishna is Shankarshan. It has been described elsewhere by Prabhupada in the commentary. He is also known as Ananta. He is the original of all incarnations in this material world. Previous to Krishna's birth, this original Shankarshan appeared as Baldev just to please Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. As I said, he is here Seva Karan. He wanted to serve Krishna in so many ways. And we see that he becomes everything. He becomes every paraphernalia of Krishna. Whatever is required for Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's pastimes, he just assists in that. He becomes, take that position. Baldev or Balramji is the supreme personality of God and himself. He is equal in supremacy to the Supreme Lord. Actually, there is no difference. As we see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he said that if you are neglecting Nityanand Prabhu, you cannot get my mercy because he is not different from me. Similarly, Baldevji is not different from Krishna. He comes only for the purpose of serving. So, this is the position of Baldevji, Anant, Shankarshan. And he, since Prabhupada described that he is the second Chaturvyu expansion, so for the pleasure of the devotees, I will, this is a little technical thing, but I will just repeat it, that Krishna Swamrup is the original personality of Godhead, like a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Swamrup is the original cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Then he comes in this material world, manifests in this material world as Swam Prakash. His original manifestation. Whenever we say that Krishna appeared, we say that Krishna appeared in his original form. It is not that it is some incarnation. Full in his original form, Krishna appeared. So that appearance in this material world is known as Swam Prakash. And Swam Prakash from this expands further, Vaibhav Prakash. Expansion with different moods, bodily features. Then Krishna expands himself into different moods and bodily features such as Balramji. Krishna is black, Balramji is white. He is fair. So he comes in a different mood. Krishna comes to perform leelas and Balramji comes to assist him in performing leelas. So they are in different moods, Krishna and Balramji. From them, Vaibhav Prakash comes Tad Ekam Rupam, which is the same as expansion with different moods and bodily features, and which is the source of Vilas. Vaibhav Prakash Tad Ekam Rupam, and then this is the source of Vilas. Vilas means four-armed Vishnu form expanded in Vaikunth and expanded from Balramji. Vilas is four-armed Vishnu forms expanded in Vaikunth, expanded from Balramji. And from him, from this Vilas expansion comes Prabhav Vilas. The first quadruple Chaturvyu expansion, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddh and Pradyuman. These are the first quadruple expansion of Vilas. And from this first quadruple expansion comes the second quadruple expansion, The second set of Chaturvyuha expansion, same as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyuman, Aniruddha. And they further expand into, it has been described, that each form expands this east fourth second Chaturvyuha, or the Chaturvyuha expansion, second, is presiding over four directions. The second Chaturvyuha expansions of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyuman, and Aniruddha is actually presiding over four directions. And from each of these four, there are three more expansions. And they are each presiding over one of the 3 months. Four Chaturvyuha expansions, from them three more, three each expansion from each of them. So 4 × 3 = 12 months. And each is presiding over 3 months, these expansions. And there are additional Vilas Murtis, making a total of 24 Vilas Vaibhav expansions. There were further two more expansions from each of them, additional Vilas Murtis, which are called. So there are 24 expansions from in the Vaibhav Vilas, second set of quadruple or Chaturvyuha expansion. So this is how we understand that Sankarshan, as the second, as the seventh child, entered the womb of the Devaki, and how this expansion takes place, which has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam very in detail. I have given the nutshell how this goes on. So from whatever we have discussed, we have seen two, three important points, that how a devotee in all circumstances want to become a part and parcel of Krishna's plan, in spite of the fact, or even if he has to undergo so many tribulations, so many difficulties, so many sufferings and distress. He is not moved by that. He only wants to please Krishna, to become part of his plan. This is the first, how the devotees, pure devotees, act in this for the pleasure of Krishna. Second is that the sixth child of Devaki represents six anarthas. And just like Krishna entered the womb of Devaki only after the six childs were killed, similarly Krishna can enter in our heart only when our heart is completely free from these six anarthas. Then our heart is suitable for Krishna to be attracted, for Krishna to be attracted and to take birth in our heart. And third, that Sankarshan or Baldevji is the guru, and our guru or the spiritual master is a representative. And just like Balaramji gives connection to Krishna, similarly the guru, spiritual master, also gives us connection to Krishna, provided we accept a provided guru, follow the instructions, perform the sadhana bhakti according to his instructions, and when that happens, that then we are ready for Krishna to be accepted, and Krishna will definitely take birth in our heart. Thank you very much. If you have any questions or doubts or comments, please. I have no qualification, but I just try to repeat the words of spiritual master or whatever heard in the parampara. That is my only qualification. Otherwise, I am totally unqualified to be giving anything on this about Krishna or Balaramji or anybody. Thank you very much.